First, I will present you what motivated me in studying the current cultural electoral system, and I will talk a little about, in a relaxed way, about representative democracy. I will then explain to you how the cultural electoral system works. I will also present an analysis of disproportionality, taking into account the last elections for the legislative, 2011, and for the region of Namibia. Then I will talk also about the current publication of election results and some improvements that could be made. Also, I will talk about voting abstinence, and finally I will present my conclusions. So, this all started with a manifesto that I am the author called, that you can check it out on maroches.org. Maroches is a Portuguese word that translates to trickery, to deceive. It started in 2011 because of a fraud that is still occurring in the transport ticketing system of the city of Porto, in the light rail network. Basically, they are charging different prices for the same route from point A to point B and from B to A, even if it's the same route. And I wrote this campaign more than half a million of illegal profits being committed. So, at the time, the manifesto had some media impact, and even some opposing parties made questions to the government, asking them why, if they were aware about this, and if they would, what they would do about it. Nothing was done until nowadays. So I start to think, why this political incapacity? Who are these people that are representing us? And a study on the Portuguese electoral system was made. So, in representative democracy, we just vote in a group of people, in a team, in a party of interests, hoping that they will represent our own interests. This reminds me of Frodo the Ring. We just give Frodo the ring, right? And we pray, okay, we pray for Saruman not getting his hands on the ring. This is, and we computer people know that delegating trust always works well. So how are these systems engineered? They're engineered by an electoral system that should represent people's will. It's defined firstly by the Constitution and then by the electoral law. The Constitution prevails its mother of all laws, so the electoral law needs to be constitutional. Fortunately, Portuguese Constitution states that the empowerment must be equal. Thank God for that. Seems Frodo as a friend watching this meal. So Portugal's Constitution, Article 1st, says Portugal is a sovereign republic based on human dignity and people's will. The second article says Portuguese Republic is a state of democratic rights based on people's will. Article 3rd, sovereignty is unique and undivisible and resides in the people. Article 9th, to promote the well-being, quality of life of the people and the equality between Portugueses. Article 10th, people exercise their political power by the universal suffrage, equal, direct, secret, and periodic. And Article 13th, all citizens have the same social dignity and are equal by law. No one can be favored, prevented, or deprived of any right. And finally, one of also the most important ones, Article 18th, that gives juridical power to the Constitution. Law can only restrict rights, freedoms and guarantees in cases explicitly expressed by the Constitution. Great. It seems Constitution is helping us, but Saruman is a plan, that of a mathematical black sorcery. So before I explain these Saruman tactics, I will talk about two seat allocation methods commonly used. One is the Yom Kippur method. It is basically a method by a set of divisors until the number of seats you want to allocate. In this case, we're trying to allocate 4 seats, so we're going to divide the votes of party A by 1, 2, 3, 4, same for B, same for C. And then you select the top 4 results corresponding to the 4 seats, and the corresponding divisor equals the seats that party A earned. So for example, party A would get 3 seats, party B would get 1 seat. If a tie happens, the seat will be given to the party with less seats. Another one is the Saint Lab method, which is basically the same thing, but instead of dividing by 1, 2, 3, 4, you divide it by 1, 3, 5, 7. Well, that is the number of votes divided by 2 times the currently allocated seats plus 1. In this case, the results will be the same. So, how is the Portuguese electoral system designed? Firstly, the electoral law says that the mainland is divided in 18 electoral circles corresponding to the 18 districts of the mainland. Another 2 are attributed to the autonomous regions, Açores and Madeira. The remaining 4 seats from the 236 that are available for distribution. The remaining 4 are distributed, 2 for the electoral circle for the all citizens living in Europe and living in Europe and Macau, and the other 2 for all citizens living in the remaining foreign countries. After distributing these 230 seats with this algorithm, for each circle we will apply once again the OMT method by dividing the total votes each party, each running party to the circle 1 by 1, 2, until the number of previously allocated mandates in the phase before. Once again, the top n results are selected. This is basically the functioning of the OMT method. And the corresponding divisor equals the number of mandates that party won in that electoral circle. So taking into account last election results for the legislatives 2011, we see this inflation, where inflation here is basically you multiply the percentage of votes one party had by the total number of seats to allocate, and then you subtract the seats that were given by the method, in this case, the OMT method. So as you can see, this party over here, the Party of Social Democrats, got more 15 seats than it should. Socialist Party got more than 6 seats than it should. All other parties are the mean of 1.5 seats. You can see by here, for example, the Social Democrats should have 92.7 seats. They got another bill and then more 15.2. The Social Party should have 29, he got 67. No, sorry. The Socialist Party got 67 and should get 67 and got actually 74, more seats. You see the left parties being armed 4 seats, these ones 2 seats. If you apply the other method, the Saint Lab method, you see that this proportionality is substantially reduced. You see that ideally we would want that we have a line over here around 0, but that's not possible because of the rounding, right? But at least we need to do our best to, as Constitution says, make our empowerments equal. Because as Constitution says, the Portuguese will is undivisible and is unique. circles, we gain even further, we lose further the disproportionality. As you can see, this is the old method using the electrical circle system. This is the same line using the electrical circles, and these two are the ones that we don't consider electrical circles. So the green one is beyond, and this one that is almost it's the most looking one is the same line, no electrical circles. So as we can see, we can reduce a lot the disproportionality because the system is causing the disproportionality in two steps. In the first step, when they distribute the mandates, and afterwards, when they distribute the votes for each electoral circle. These are the values of the previous calculations. As you can see, if you consider a state line with no electoral circles, you can reduce substantially the bias of the seats. In terms of error reduction of the mean absolute error, you can see that this is the odd with electoral circles, this is the same line considering electoral circles, this is the fair odd, this is the applying the odd method without electoral circles, and this is the same line without using electoral circles. If you use the same line with electoral circles, you will reduce the mean error in 58%. If you use the odd without electoral circles, electoral circles, the error reduction would be 72%. And same plan without the electoral circles, almost 90% of the original mean absolute error. In the case of the autonomous region of Madeira, the last election results, things got even more complicated. In the case of the region of Madeira, they consider only one electoral circle, and they have 47 mandates to distribute, 47 seats. So what happened is that the Social Democrats didn't got the majority, more than half of the votes. Nevertheless, they got the majority. So if you apply the old method as described in the electoral law for the regions autonomous of Malaya, you will get 25 seats plus 1.5 than they should. So actually they got the majority without needing to do a coalition in that time with another party. If you apply the same plan, they would be armed 0.4, that would be 23 mandates, and they wouldn't get a majority. But this is a case where a very tight case. As you can see, the expected mandate would be 23.4464. So if you round this to the second decimal, it will be 23.45. So what do you round now? Okay. Or is fair, as they teach in school, so we don't round it to 23.5. Nevertheless, they didn't have the majority of the votes. Nevertheless, they had the majority in the final results. So, applying the same line in this case, the mean absolute error will be 0.28, and the law with the ultimate at 0.656. Another important question is, when I was doing this, was that basically what I did was, I started one way of you getting the temporary discontinuity results would be either to go to the parishes and see what was really published in paper, and you will need a really big team to do that. Another way is through the website of the electing commission, where you can harvest the temporary results. Those results that are counted by the parties at each parish. Basically, each winning party designates someone of their trust to count the votes. And each one counts the votes, and the counting is then transferred to another commission that aggregates the counting. In my case, I harvest those results, those from the scrutiny results, which have a bigger granularity. You can see the results for councils and districts. And also I used the data from the official results that were published in our Diary of the Republic. In that official results, you only have districts, so you don't see what was the counting. What was the counting corrections made on those of the temporary scrutiny results? And in my opinion, that would be very good to have, because that way you can see if there is someone trying to get advantage by changing a little counting just to influence the rounding by the method that is applied. Because that way you cannot see it. If there is results being manipulated at lower levels of the counting, in this case, in certain parishes, so that when applying the old method for that electoral circle, you wouldn't actually see it. It would be good to have this granularity in another one published. Another thing that I would like to tell you is that of the voting abstinence. Nowadays, no democratic weight is given to voting abstinence. Quoting current president of Portugal, those that do not vote don't have the authority to criticize the public politics. Only those who vote have the right to demand the best of the elected government. Well, he's saying this, but when he was elected, more than half of the electors didn't vote on him. And either you like it or not, abstinence is a manifestation of the people in some sort of way. And we need to start thinking, how do we cope with the abstinence? In the legislatives, also in 2011, you see 41%, in 2009, 40%. When these results are presented, when the interviewers ask the president, why so much abstinence? He said, actually, to the media, that the number of registered voters should be updated, because the electoral database can be updated. Well, this is a very serious thing to say. So he's saying to us that there are actually there registered voters that shouldn't be there. But who says to me that those same registered voters are not being allocated to abstinence, but for their own purposes? Who knows? We should expect that the electoral database be updated. So, with that in mind, I start thinking, okay, how can I evaluate how is the state of the electoral database of the registered voters? So, I use an application provided by the Minister of Internal Administration, that is in this address, that basically is an application that voters use to see what is the parish they should deposit their vote. It's basically a web front end where you can do two types of searches, one using the citizen's identification number and the other one the full name and birth date. So, using politicians' publicly available biographies, a set of searches were done. In this example, using the name of our president, Aníbal António Cavaco Silva, its birthday date, we get its voter registration ID number, its parish, constable district, and this is the timestamp when I did the search. I got results for all state advisors and randomly people picked, and strangely, I didn't find anything for the Portuguese First Lady. This is very strange. So I tried to exclude all possible false negatives in the searches. I did case sensitiveness, accentuation. I tried different name combinations and different ages, her actual name, her married name, you name it, and no results were found. Maybe a poor coincidence, who knows. Concluding, not a lot of efforts are being made to assure Portuguese people's will. In the case of region autonomous of Madeira, it would not be possible a majority of party PSD, if people's will had been assured seriously. The effective distortion of the people's will violates Article 1, 2, 3, 9, 10, and 13 of the Portuguese Constitution. Evidence shows a lack of confidence on PNE on the electoral database and on vote counting processes. We need to find better ways to assure people's will in representative systems. So that's all. Any questions? So many seats earning in the people, you pay for them.
But the thing is, it's mathematically proven. You cannot design a fair system based on real.
Of course not. Of course not. But you need to, in all your possibilities, try to minimize it. This is this proportionality.
Yeah, but that,
without
this, you can do that. So you can decrease that effect that you have shown in these.
Of course, you never manage.
Then you might enter a situation where votes from whatever source, somebody loses seats, which doesn't make sense either, right? Because that would be unfair for the party.
Yeah, so you're saying that the party will get more votes out by some sort of manipulation or something?
No, no. So when you compare two situations, say they get 28%, and compare that situation with where they got 28 plus something, and suddenly they lose a seat like that. That would be possible in an electoral system that your time of fairness, but then it's unfair to people who voted for that particular party, because, and actually in Germany we saw that. So what was it? One election, the party got more votes and suddenly they lost the seat. Yeah, so you have to find a balance.
One thing that we would do, it would be if law will contemplate an hybrid approach, that is, it should be applied the method that most thus, if some sort of method in a certain case doesn't work okay, we should switch it and assure that things are more fair.
But again, then we might find another situation where you find another unfair outcome. I mean, it's mathematically proven. It's more clear.
Yeah, but that happens with all methods, right? You need to have a method that's probabilistically the one that probabilistically environment.
But what's called realistically, what you mentioned?
No, that's something I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm not even seeing a way to it.
It's fine to expectation, but then about what ensemble, what's more European space, and it's more appropriate in terms of for the world.
Yeah, but I think you're entering in very theoretical details. I'm just preoccupied in reducing the current distortion of the Portuguese people's view. That is, as you saw, it's a lot. We're not talking about building a perfect system. We're talking right now trying to minimize the distortion. That this distortion is substantial.
There is no one criterion. There are several. When you optimize the system with one criterion, you pay the price of another criterion.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but you optimize in one dimension, but this is what we are looking for.
Yeah, because I'm trying to keep it simple. It's just one vote should count whether it's one vote.
Social phenomenon.
But social phenomena, politics also argue a lot with social phenomena, and we see things not work from day. The people don't, even if we're talking with some, actually most of the Portuguese people, even don't know that it's one. Therefore, if they live in a certain city with very few voters, it doesn't count as another voter. So how can you socially live in this social arena? You're applying a criteria, and at the same time you see politicians saying, ah, but I want those regions to develop. Those votes of those people with their own preoccupations doesn't count. So I try to stratospherically think, okay, just try to minimize. Of course, as you said, if you use a more fair system, there are also politics that say, oh, but this will result in more party fragmentation, that is, more parties to fight in the vote counting process. But I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about trying to minimize this proportionality.
Thank you. same as having proportional representation all the time.
So
it's actually baseline, right? It's different than having a proportional.
So you're saying it's proportionality is a good, would be a good thing.
I don't say that it's good. It might be an acceptable compromise.
Something what do you mean by an acceptable compromise?
Because for example, prevents
so you're saying to me that minorities